So and today then, Holy Thursday, so the Mass this evening, the Mass of the Holy Thursday, and the Mass of the Institution of the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Priesthood, the Last Supper, and the beginning of the Passion. Going to be here again in California here, near Anaheim, Los Angeles area, Orange County. Okay. We won't read the epistle, we'll read only the gospel. So you can go ahead and stand. We'll just read only the gospel. According to St. John, chapter 13, for this Holy Thursday Mass. Before the festival day of the Pasch. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them unto the end. And when the supper was done, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God, and goeth to God, he riseth from the supper, and layeth aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girdeth himself, and after that he putteth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of his disciples, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, And he that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, and he is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. And after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, being sat down again, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. So the Lord, having known what he was, before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having known, loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then so today, a few considerations on the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and those that follow him. Remember that our Lord, he showed his perfect love to the universe when he created it magnificent. He made it a perfectly, perfectly, perfectly wonderful world. And then Adam and Eve decided to sin. Adam and Eve decided to separate themselves from that world. And it tried to destroy, that damage that world that Christ had created. But then God then had to heal that which was wounded. In the sacred scripture, or rather the Mass, we learn, as we say so often in the Mass, in the offertory of the Mass, what God had made wonderful, mirabilius reformasti. He more wonderfully reformed and recreated. And then we see also the example of the divine love that is manifested in the supper. And remember that when the Last Supper takes place on Holy Thursday night, what is happening is the crucifixion. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to experience the cross, the real crucifix. Just like when we have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we know that in this Mass, there's going to be the body and blood and soul divinity made present at the moment of the death of Christ at 3 p.m. on Good Friday. And there's going to be a separation, the sacramental separation of the body from the blood. A real and true separation, a real and true sacrifice. This first sacrifice happened about 18 hours before 3 p.m. on Good Friday. And about 18 hours before that, maybe a little bit more, actually it was about 18 hours before, at about 6 p.m. the night before, Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "This is my body," the first time, over bread. "And this is the chalice of my blood of the New and Eternal Testament, which shall be shed for you and for many unto the remission of sins," the first time, over the chalice. And when he said these words, crucifixion happened. He experienced the cross. It's one of the many great heresies of Vatican II. One of the grave errors of the new missal, the Novus Ordo Missae, is telling people that the Mass is a memorial of the supper of the Lord. The night before he died, he had a supper. And there was a supper. And that was the first meal, which would be called like the antipasta, like the preparatory part of the meal. But then he went out from the antipasta, from that meal, which was done according to the Jewish tradition. And he went out, and he came back with an apron on, like a waiter, with a cloth wrapped around his waist. He then went to wash the feet of his apostles. And he began another rite that was never there before. He instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In this Mass, he said that his apostles understood, "This is my body." And they understood, "This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ." He told us that we had to eat his body and we had to drink his blood. We could not understand that. But now we understand, this is his body. He has put in his own body into this bread. And this is his blood. He's put in his own blood into this chalice. And when we consume this body and we consume this blood, we are consuming the very body and the blood and the soul and the divinity of our Master who is before us. And they understood they were receiving Holy Communion. They understood that a sacrifice had taken place. And we see their understanding of the sacrifice is about as good as our understanding, because they understood very clearly that this is the body and blood of Christ which is being broken, which is being consumed, which is being eaten and destroyed. And yet, in a few hours, when they would actually see with their eyes that same body be destroyed, and hear with their ears, and touch and see that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was real, they knew it was real on Holy Thursday night. But when Good Friday came, only a few hours later, they were in disbelief, and they could not understand. And therefore, they ran away from him, and they had to be strengthened. Our Lord Jesus Christ was showing them what to do. And hence St. John noticed that very night. He said he loved his own, and he loved them unto the end. Love is proven when it goes to the end. Love doesn't stop. Love continues usque ad martem, all the way until death. Love does not stop. As William Shakespeare said, love is not love when an alteration finds, when it bends with the remover to be removed. That love is taken away so easily, it's not love. When love, when someone else removes their love and we remove ours, then our love wasn't love to begin with. And our Lord Jesus Christ shows what love really is. He loved his own, loved them unto the end. Notice the next verse of the Gospel. St. John, the apostle that had his head on the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, he also had his eye on Judas. And St. John was right next to Judas. He saw our Lord, his head was on his heart, and he saw Judas. And he noticed a double movement that happens when our Lord Jesus Christ shows his divine love. The very next verse of the Gospel that St. John writes is, "And having loved his own, who were in this world, he loved them unto the end. And when the supper was done, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him." It's interesting, because Judas already decided to betray Christ. Judas already had 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. Judas already had a plan. And Judas was at the supper. And his plan was thwarted. He wasn't able to go where he wanted to go. He wasn't able to do what he had planned. He would have planned the Lord Jesus Christ to already be captured. But it failed. A man who thinks like this certainly has Satan inside of him. But he is not yet a priest. He's not yet ordained. And he has not yet seen with his own eyes what the divine love and how serious and how complete the divine love is. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves his own unto the end. The devil senses this divine love. And the devil is angry at this divine love. And therefore the devil puts a special satanic spirit inside of Judas. There are three separate passages in the scripture that tell us the devil entered Judas. St. John tells us the first time the devil entered Judas, which was in John chapter 6. The devil entered Judas because he was scandalized at Christ saying, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." And Judas became a thief. And then the Gospel of St. Luke tells us that the devil entered Judas after he was scandalized. The first scandal of Judas was Christ said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." That's a scandal. And he was disgusted by that, and the devil entered Judas. And the second scandal of Judas was on Wednesday of Holy Week, just yesterday, when alabaster oil was poured over the feet of our Lord. And then Judas, it had gone too far, and he had his second scandal. And Judas saw that there's 300 denarii worth, 1 year's wages, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of oil. And Mary Magdalene wasted on the feet of our Lord. This is an incredible, irresponsible waste. And he's scandalized. This is the second scandal of Judas. And what did Judas the priest say? He said, "This could have been sold and given to the poor." Bishop Sheen spoke of this scandal 50 years ago when he said, "This is the scandal of the modern priest, who, like Judas, said, 'Why do you have to waste this money on Christ when it can be given to the poor?' And they open soup kitchens, and they have a new purpose of the church at Vatican II. We're going to end poverty," they said at Vatican II. "We're going to stop poverty. We're going to bring an end to physical suffering on the earth." Even though our God and Master told us 2,000 years ago, "The poor you have always with you." And Judas had his second scandal. And St. John tells us he had that second, or rather St. Luke tells us he had that second scandal because he was a thief. And he had the charge of the purse. But he was scandalized that bad money was wasted when it could have been given to the poor. And then we go to the third scandal. And the third scandal is today. Judas went and filled his pockets with the money, and he betrayed Christ. Now he is at the table. Now he is at the Mass. Our Lord Jesus Christ is about to offer the first Mass, and he loved his apostles unto the end. And he's going to ordain Judas a priest. He's going to give him the Holy Communion. He's going to receive a sacrilegious priesthood. He's going to receive a sacrilegious Holy Communion. And instead of being repentant, he is going to be further filled with the devil. Now, after the second scandal, St. Luke tells us, "And the devil entered Judas, and he went out from Mary Magdalene's, wiping the feet of our Lord, and he went to the high priest, and he said, 'What will you give me if I betray him? You can't believe what this man, I've had enough.' He could have been made king. He was went into the desert. He brought the people to him, and he said, 'Eat my flesh and drink my blood.' He said, told them to be like a cannibal, and the people walked away. Yesterday, he had a massive amount of money that could have been used for the poor, and he allowed St. Mary Magdalene to waste it upon the floor. And he said some lame excuse. He said, 'The poor you have always with you,' as if he doesn't care about the poor. 'By me you do not always have.' And therefore he scandalized. That's it. 'What will you give me if I betray him?' And they were very happy. And they gave him 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. And he said, 'I'll betray him. I know his schedule. I know what he does.' Now we come tonight, and Judas is scandalized. One of the things we can note concerning evil: you think the world is as bad as it can ever be. I remember when I was a child in the 1970s, Father Hanifin, my old Irish pastor, said, "It can't get any worse. Jimmy Carter is like the Antichrist. It's the devil. And the world, there can't be any more crime. There can't be any more impurity. There can't be any more immorality. It can't get worse. The devil has filled our society. They've taken away our Mass. They've taken away all the truths of our faith. Families are broken apart. Men have worshipped Satan. They're going to get to hell, and they can't get any worse." But what happened? It got worse. The devil can always go deeper. Judas was scandalized in Christ because he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," and he didn't accept the kingship that was offered to him, human kingship, to be a bread king. But he got more scandalized when he saw them waste money that could have been used for the poor. And then he sold Christ. And now he's even more scandalized. And the devil enters into him as a priest. And he is filled with the heart to betray Christ. And when the supper was done, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, our Lord Jesus Christ does not turn away from his goodness. Our Lord is going to allow us to experience trials. A trial that's small, then a trial that's medium, and then a trial that's large. Now, where are we going to continue to love and act according to the gospel of the small trial? Very good. Now he'll give a medium one. Are we going to continue to love and follow Christ with a medium trial? Very good. Then he'll give a larger one. And then when we persevere to the end, there's a transformation and a victory. Right now, there are souls that our Lord is asking to persevere in great charity in order there may be a transformation and a victory. And our Lord himself perseveres. What does he focus on? He's going to wash the feet of his apostles. He's going to speak to them about the Father and the Holy Ghost and himself dwelling inside of us. He's going to talk about his victory. He is going to say, I no longer call you slaves, but friends. He's going to sing a hymn with his apostles. He's going to make this holy sacrifice, the Mass, and give his body as meat indeed, his blood as drink indeed, and then he's going to walk with his apostles peacefully to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to allow 8 apostles to sleep peacefully, for they have done their part. He's going to ask 3 apostles to watch an hour with him. He's going to go, and then he's going to sweat blood. And these apostles will not be able to watch an hour with him, having their emotions gone up too high and down too low, being exhausted and afraid, they won't be able to do it. So each year, at this time of the Holy Thursday, we have the Mass of Holy Thursday, and afterwards we'll go ahead and do the washing of the feet right away for those feet that we're able to wash. We'll get some of the 12 apostles washed, and then with the washing of the feet. And then afterwards, we'll continue the Mass. At the end of the Mass, we have a procession. In this procession, we'll remember the journey of the apostles from our Lord Jesus Christ when he sang a hymn and he walked with them over the brook of Cedron. He walked over the brook of Cedron like David had done 1,000 years before. David walked across the brook of Cedron, but then after he walked across it, they said, Absalom, Absalom is king, Absalom is king. And Absalom said, go and kill my father David. And David had to run in terror and fear across that brook of Cedron. And the apostle and the prophecy said, one day, as David had to run across the brook of Cedron, so one day the Messiah shall be dragged across that brook. Our Lord Jesus Christ walks across the brook, but in a few hours, he's going to be dragged across that same brook. And he's going to be dragged across it on the way to be crucified. He will be his 3 hours in the agony. He will weep and sweat blood, but he will not turn back. And remember, at this holy sacrifice, 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ poured out his heart. There are so many things that happened at the cross that they cannot be fit in just a 3-hour consideration, which we will have tomorrow from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. The 3 p.m. is the actual Mass of the pre-sanctified. But at 12 to 3, you should be here from 12 to 3. There'll be 12 o'clock will be a conference, then the rosary, then another conference, and then the Stations of the Cross at 2 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock will be the actual Mass of the Pre-Sanctified, and then end about 4:30 or so. But nonetheless, that we should be there for the 3 hours, to spend the time with Christ on the cross, and tonight to spend at least an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We'll make a small procession from here at the end of the Mass, out the back, around the side, a little bitty chapel here on the side, and then we'll just try to spend an hour in prayer there, and then by midnight we'll close it out, and so the prayer, time of prayer, at least an hour of prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and then we can go ahead, and then tomorrow at noon will be the Good Friday, the 3 hours, first a conference, and then the rosary, and then during the rosary confessions, and then the conference, and then the Stations of the Cross during the Stations of Confessions, then the final preparations, and 3 p.m., the Mass of the pre-sanctified. The whole course will be no actual Mass tomorrow. The host is consecrated, a second host is consecrated tonight, and then that host will be consumed and broken tomorrow at the end of the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. And so, in any case, we follow our Lord to the Garden of Gethsemane and try to watch an hour with Him, and notice how His love became deeper, His love became stronger, as man denied Him more and more, as man turned further and further away from Him. They asked the mother of St. Pius X, "Who was your favorite son?" And she simply said, "The one that was the sickest, the one that was furthest from God." And so how is it that our Lord Jesus Christ loves us? He loves the one that's the sickest. He loves the one that's furthest from God. This is where He pours most of His love. And we can see this on the Holy Thursday night. The greatest betrayal that has ever been done is the betrayal of a priest. And this betrayal was done by Judas 2,000 years ago. And it has been repeated so many times. And it will be repeated until the ending of time. And yet our Lord will not stop His divine love. He will not stop His work. And He will defeat the wickedness of Judas as He defeated the wickedness of Cain. And He will defeat the wickedness of the priest until the ending of the world. But He will defeat it by His divine truth, His divine word, and His divine love, which shall not be stopped. And He shall love all the way unto the end. I'll close that, God. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.